After several years, the area returned to growth brought on by many high-tech companies moving into the area. Real estate began to climb again. Growth pushed property prices up to $14,000 to $25,000 an acre. In the meantime, I began to employ 6 basic criteria to evaluate and shop property. 1. Motivation. Either the seller's or mine. Take the case of the 70-acre parcel, which was not even on the market for sale. I'd already picked the property based on location and growth trends I was compiling. Then I researched the owners and visited them to evaluate their relationship to the property and how the potential changes would or would not affect them. It turned out that 3 sisters had inherited the land years before. Now the 2 surviving sisters, who were both around 80 years old, weren't interested in keeping the property any longer. At that stage of their lives, money was more important to them. But there was more to factor into the deal. The sisters first said no to my offer. Undeterred, I tried again, and in talking to them found out that they didn't want the land to be developed. With that understanding, I informed them about my intentions, that I did not intend to develop the land the way others did, i.e. building homes one on top of the other. Based on their responses, I knew we'd be able to do a deal that would work out for everyone's benefit. I think this is one of the most critical and important issues associated to any piece of real estate. The property had to meet my criteria. Then, heightened awareness about what the sellers wanted had to be considered. 2. Condition of the property. This goes beyond whether or not it was just good or bad, or whether it was raw or landscaped. I had to develop a fairly good head for what was and wasn't significant, along with lots of clever ideas for alternate cost issues, as well as a clear idea about zoning options, i.e. zoned for commercial, residential, or other use. For instance, a lovely vista showcasing rolling hills, or a river, or an orchard can be significant. Views matter to lots of people. 3. Terms. What the seller, the bank, and I wanted. Taking into account number 1 and number 2, terms can be altered to accommodate everyone involved. 4. Location. I know this has been beaten to death, but location, when lined up with growth trends, presents many possibilities that may not be immediately apparent. For instance, scoping out a particular area showed me that demand for land was moving in that direction. 5. Price. There's nothing like buying a great retail property at a wholesale price, but there are many more issues related to price. 6. Relationships. This is what Rich Dad refers to as networks. Talk to people. Listen to what they're saying. Tips about upcoming areas. For example, I found out that Dell Computer was planning to build in a certain area, which meant people looking for rental properties, new homes, and places to shop are often conveyed during casual conversations. I recently made 3 property purchases in Austin, Texas. While gaining yearly cash flow from them, based on my projections, my equity may grow to over $310,000 over the course of 5 years. Even better, one of the 3 is located at what will be a future key intersection as a result of 2 critical real estate changes in the area. The first is that the local airport is expanding to add a new parallel runway. This changes a major highway routing, which will bring it right past the property. I've already received offers to sell the property for double what I paid for it. Here's the breakdown on the first property, a single-family dwelling. I paid $134,000 for it. Between the down payment of $28,350, the closing costs of $1,200, and the repairs, renovations of $6,200, I spent $35,750. The rental income is $960 per month, with a vacancy loss of 5% or $48 a month. For those who do not know, a vacancy loss is the amount of money lost while the property is vacant between tenants. I assume a loss of 5%, or 1 month for every 20. This gives me a total monthly income of $912. My monthly expenses of taxes, repairs, and maintenance, management fees, and the loan payment comes to $860.95. This gives me a net monthly cash flow of $51.05, which is an annual cash flow of $612.60. The amount of cash I put into the property is $35,750. Therefore, my cash on cash return, which is the amount of cash I make as a percentage of the amount of cash I put in myself, is 1.7%. Note, this is not a large return on my investment, but I have the potential for capital gains if I choose to sell the property later. Similar properties in the area are selling for $175,000, and I only paid $134,000.